Today we continue in 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 5. We're actually going to start with verse 14 through 21, give a little more context. Hear God's word. Our firm decision is to work from the focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. And we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. That old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at all. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. With each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ's representatives, and God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It's amazing the many ways that God teaches us things if we're paying attention and if we're listening. Many years ago, as I was preparing for ministry and sort of in an in-between time between my original studies at Fuller and then before God moved us out to New Jersey, and I was between jobs, and I had a surprising invitation and opportunity to teach English as a second language courses and citizenship courses. That's the last thing I ever would have dreamed of in a million years. And it was one of the most wonderful gifts God has given me and one of the most beautiful experiences. The opportunity to get to know closely people from all over the world and to hear their stories. Stories that you wouldn't believe. Of suffering. Of challenges. Of doing their best to keep their families alive and fed. There was one who was from Vietnam, who'd been through the war. The terrors that he went through, he still had nightmares. There were beautiful people from Mexico who were working multiple jobs, even as they were still trying to learn the language and trying to find ways to fit in with the culture. And then seeing each one face to face and hearing their stories, I felt so blessed. I felt amazingly blessed. And to this day, I remember one morning, an older woman who was learning English, and she got there. She would always come early while I was still sort of preparing and getting things ready. And, "Teacher, what do you like today?" And I'm thinking she's somehow getting her language mixed up, and I'm trying to understand what it is she's really trying to say. "Teacher, what do you like today?" And what I realized as we talked further was, she was asking me, what was I grateful for in this day? She was one who had next to nothing and was struggling so hard, especially as an older woman, with no resources. And yet she was still coming into class with this smile on her face, with gratitude. I think of each of them right now, especially having spent time down in Mexico with family property down there, and some of my most beautiful memories and experiences were with these folks who have next to nothing, who are struggling, just trying to stay alive. Do you know what many of them, what their stoves are? They live in little box huts, and the stove might be an old oil canister that they somehow find a creative way to use as their cooking stove. They have nothing. And yet, they do their best to work their hardest, to care for their families, and to be loving people. No matter what, they were the most loving people I have ever met. So I have to tell you that my heart is totally breaking right now. When I see a country, when I look around and I look at all of us, we ourselves, some of us have been here for generations, others only a few. But all of our families came from somewhere else, all of us seeking a better life, all of us trying to somehow care for ourselves and our families. So to hear about infants being pulled from their mothers, and little children, and the damage that will be permanently done to them their entire lives. My own children went through some challenges due to the domestic abuse that we had. And we had nothing when we came out here. Do you know where our beds came from? We curbside shopped. Our beds literally were people's cast-off garbage. Most of what we had in our little room. And I can remember driving through the neighborhoods and thinking as I looked at these folks in their homes and wondering, do these people even know people like us are even alive? Does anyone care? And our situation was nothing compared to this. The studies that they're doing on trauma are showing that they do permanent damage to the brain. What is happening to these children are not just physical. They can give them beds, they can give them food, but the trauma that's occurring right now, being separated from their families, is permanent. And they'll be dealing with that the rest of their lives. And we are the country who talk of being accepting, of opening our arms, a Statue of Liberty. We have some disconnects, especially as people of faith. We have some disconnects. And even when we mean well, It's not always enough. We have a challenge. And this passage, Paul is trying to ask us and show us, what does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it really mean to be a person of faith? And the starting point of that is to really try to understand the problems of others and of this world. And sadly, our tendency to save ourselves from suffering and pain is to try to tune it all out. We don't want to hear it. Or the other thing that we do is we convince ourselves that if people have problems, it's because they have done something to cause those problems. It's their fault. Someone recently posted on Facebook about how, well, we deserve our Social Security because we paid money into it, but people on welfare, they're just taking money. They're just not doing anything. Well, you know what? You are looking at a former welfare mom. Right here. I had no choice. It was the most shameful thing ever, and I was working even as I was on it. I was trying to come up with creative ways to make money any way I could. And the others I've known on welfare have been the same boat. Our families and Family Promise. Do you think that any of them asked to be without homes? And yet, our system is set up so that people are not able to make enough in their jobs. If they become ill, they can end up with huge health bills that can wipe them out. There are endless things that are working against so many people. And we can't, as Christians, just tune it out. And we can't, as people of faith, simply say, well, it must be their fault. We can't. The second thing in this passage is that we have to learn to love and to help others and not judge. It's always easy to judge, right? It's always easy to make assumptions about other people. It lets us off the hook. But that's not what we're called to do as Christians. We have no right to judge others. And when you start hearing the stories behind what's going on with them, most times you'll be pretty amazed. Stories that you wouldn't believe. Stories of suffering and pain and things beyond their control. So we are first of all called to understand the problems in this world, and we are secondly called to love and to help others, not judge. And third, we're called to stay centered in Christ. Yes, I know our schedules are busy. Yes, I know there's so many things that we're continually doing, and taking that few minutes to read a Bible passage or to say a prayer, it can just seem like more than we can handle at times. But my friends, for us to be the people of faith that we're created to be, we have to start with a centering in Christ. It begins there. And it also gives us the eyes to see what needs to be seen. It gives us the voice when we need to speak. It gives us the capacity to love where love is needed. It gives us the ability to live without fear, without constantly just working to protect ourselves. And this is what This is what Jesus was trying to say. He was young. He was only in his 30s when he was crucified. None of us want to be crucified. None of us want to die young. But there is a lesson in that, that there is something more important than this life in this world. This life is kind of like a test. And the question, as the scripture says, when did I see you, Lord? We're seeing Jesus now everywhere. The question is, are we going to choose to live as he calls us to live? Or are we going to choose to simply live selfishly for ourselves? We can't hide the stuff anymore. That ugliness is coming out into the light. And who we are is also coming into the light. It's time for change. And it's time for us to choose to live as Christ calls us to live. Let us pray. Almighty God, we don't have to look far to see the suffering in this world. Many, even in this room, are going through that suffering. But you don't call us to live just for ourselves. This brief, little, short life in these broken vessels is about living as you call us to live, as those who show your love to all. In your name, we pray.